As the weeks of the Easter season give way to the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Gospel begins an introduction to who the Spirit is and to the necessity of having the Spirit at work in our lives. The Spirit is called the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Counselor, the one who comes in order that the things which the Lord wants to unfold in us may be completely unfolded to us and become fruitful within us. The gift and the reception of the Holy Spirit is to precisely be that guarantee that the promises that Christ has fulfilled in his person will indeed come to pass for us. And all of those promises will always be available to those who believe in Christ and those who cling to him. The gospel context is where last Sunday's left off. The context is once again the Last Supper. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his coming suffering and death, but also foretelling his resurrection and his ascension when he will leave them. But he promises that even after he leaves them, he will remain with the disciples, but in a different way. He tells them clearly that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He explains that if they truly love him, they will follow his commandments. Jesus stresses the word love, if you love me. And love is a word commonly used, and yet it's very difficult to put into practice. Jesus says in his discourse, if we love him, if we keep his commandments and fulfill his wishes, then we show that we love him. To St. John, who wrote this gospel, there is only one real test of love, and that is obedience. It is by Jesus' obedience to the Father that he showed his love for God by going to the cross for our sake. And it is by our obedience we need to show our faith in and our love for Jesus. In the world, we see varying expressions of love. We have love between parents and children. We especially think about that today on Mother's Day. We have the expression of love between husband and wife, between friends, even between different nations. But to Jesus, love is not an easy thing. It's not that soft, dreamy emotion and sentiment that we read about in novels and see on TV. For Jesus, love is shown by obedience to the truth and by sacrifice. Jesus knew that love is much more than just words. I love you. He knew of love's power, that self-sacrificing power. He knew of love's power to change the world. He even told us to love our enemies. And that if we truly did love our enemies, the world would be radically changed. And this doesn't mean, yeah, we got to be good friends with this guy who just did us bad things. But we have to pray for that guy or that girl, that they might, that she might, he might, become the kind of person God created him or her to be. Not that we're ever going to be close friends, maybe not. But we have to pray for that person so that he or she becomes the kind of person in Christ God created him or her to be. And you know, that's not easy to do. But Jesus proved that this self-sacrificing love bears fruit in the way that he died on the cross for us, in the way he died to redeem our world and to buy it back from this world's loveless misery. So Jesus is saying, I'm setting you a hard task. And I'm setting you all on a very difficult engagement. But Jesus doesn't leave us to struggle with the Christian life all by yourselves. He says, I am going to send you someone, the Paraclete, who will guide you as to what to do and enable you to do it. That Greek word, parakletos, it's really hard to translate. So we hear it translated in various ways already. Advocate, comforter, helper. The Paraclete is the Holy Spirit. He is understood as an intercessor, a defender, a witness for those of us who get accused, a best friend, a comforter in distress. In general, the Holy Spirit comes to stand by us, to protect us and give us support. He's a counselor, a monitor, and a comforter, our advocate, who stands by us particularly when we feel worthless, useless, and of no value to anyone. His consolations strengthen us when we feel weak, inadequate, and powerless. So Jesus bids us to look to the gifts of the Spirit which come upon us. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, reverence for the Lord, strength, and so on. The Holy Spirit is the empowering one given to us by Christ. Now you know that the evil one seeks to weaken us. He tends to beset us with doubt, disillusionment, discouragement, depression, defeat, despair, even death. But the Holy Spirit strengthens us. He animates us. He gives us life. He gives us a share in God's life. So he comes to us. He lives inside us when we get depressed. When the works of the devil beset us, the Holy Spirit is our advocate, our counselor, in order that we may be defended. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. So his love is personified, as it were, in that third person. And so he acts and lives internally within each of us. And so he can enable us to pray for those people who have hurt us, to do good things to others, prompted by the Spirit. He takes away our inadequacies. He helps us to cope with life. And he helps us to live victoriously in Christ. So as we have been contemplating the glories of the new life that have been gained for us by Jesus dying on the cross and rising for us, and as we approach the coming ascension of our Lord, we also begin to prepare ourselves for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We pray that he may dwell in us and give us the courage we need to witness to the risen Lord Jesus and to his truth in this world. As the Lord himself says, he goes not to leave us alone, but to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, the one who raised the humanity of Jesus Christ from the dead, and who can, if we respond by obeying God's commands, raise up our humanity too, and the world around us. So while there is sadness for the disciples at the Lord's going forth at the ascension, there is still great rejoicing with the Holy Spirit that will come upon them and has come already to us in our confirmation, and which we hope will be renewed at Pentecost. All things we do as Christians, because this is what the Son himself did, obedient to the work and words of the Father, obedient to the word and will of the Father. He did all that was asked of him, and so he gained for us eternal life. So we need to do the same. Do everything that God asks of us, and be instruments for ourselves, yes, if it be God's will, but also saving instruments through Christ for the world and for the salvation of all mankind.